thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole. Here with my homies, Will T, Ray Jeezy, and also we got a guest from Heritage Sports Radio Network, Lex Diamond. What's going on, fellas? Y'all there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I can't tell y'all. I'm like, y'all giving me this big ass break. I said, like, what's going on, fellas? I couldn't hear anything. Everybody was quiet.
Hey, listen, just to learn from last week, you got to say who you speaking to. What do you think?
I ain't going to do that. You're right. I'm not doing that this time. That was too much work, man. I ain't going to lie to you, dog. We had to go back to being retro. But Will T going to host this joint out, though. He's the producer for this joint.
That's why I'm worried. That's why I'm concerned.
Hey, Will T, I got your back. What's going on, Lex? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Trying to understand, do I play games, do I read books, do I learn new skills, do I watch a new series, you know, just trying to figure it out. You know, this is the first time I think in my life I've had to, you know, be without sports since I was probably like 2 years old.
Well, so you said you read a lot now, right? You got all this talent to better yourself,
man,
right?
Just reading a lot, man. Yeah, just reading a lot and trying to sharpen my skills from a professional standpoint, man. So that's how I'm preoccupying my time.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I'll be thankful when we do get sports back. We're going to get a glimpse of sports in a documentary form in what, like 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
ESPN moved up the date for their docuseries, The Last Dance. Yeah. Now they're calling it the Michael Jordan series, The Last Dance. But I thought earlier, when they first promoted it, it was about the Bulls in their 72-10 season.
Yeah, so, that's what I thought at first. It's like with Jordan, it seems like it's more on Jordan's, you know, his leadership towards that, you know, during that last run.
It should be interesting because at least from my memory, I can't remember when we've ever seen an extended period of conversations, extended conversation with Michael Jordan. Mm. So from my understanding, it's supposed to air over the course of 5 Sundays, and it's going to be 2 episodes each Sunday starting at 9 p.m.
Yeah, should be lit. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T, you should say Wally. Let's get into a tradition. You should do that part, and now go into it.
We're gonna do it. We've always
okay. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition. A pregame.
We got a big ass delay. All right. Yeah. Here's what we have on tap. ESPN moving up the MJ and Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, at 8:20. The Redskins. We'll talk about the Redskins signing cornerback Ronald Darby. At 8:30, we'll discuss how the coronavirus may change the way fans watch or attend sporting events. Finally, at 8:40, I actually want to get into this. I want Will to break this down for me. We'll talk about what could be revealed in the upcoming NFL draft. But Will T, we're already talking about it. The Bull documentary. What are you excited about this documentary?
Well, as I said earlier, one, we never really had the opportunity to see anyone conduct a lengthy interview with Michael Jordan. That's one. So, you know, it'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on, you know, how he viewed that last season with that Bulls team. Then also, I want to hear the perspective of his other teammates. I want to hear not only teammates, but coach. I want to hear Phil Jackson's perspective. I want to hear Steve Kerr, who's a coach now, his perspective. I want to hear Scottie Pippen's perspective. I want to hear Dennis Rodman's perspective. So, you know, just someone who came into loving basketball during that period of time, you know, it has a feel, you know, that's close to my heart. So I'm interested to hear, to see and hear those stories.
Hey, Ray, what makes you excited about this documentary? See, I learned, right? See what I did there?
I'm not going to necessarily say I'm excited, per se. However, there's a lot of questions that you have when it revolves around the Chicago team. Well, I shouldn't say you have, but there's questions that I just want to present. I'm feeling slightly oppositional today, so just bear with me. You know, one is, of course, a common question is, what if Michael Jordan never retired from basketball? Because many think Chicago could have won 8 straight, you know, finals. But we also know that his motivation behind winning those last 3 championships was in part due to Horace Grant and Orlando. You know, the way they defeated Michael when he first came back out of retirement, that said to him that I got to get back to where I was prior to going into baseball. And then also, when you think about the Brian Russell push-off, it just makes you wonder about, you know, just politics in the NBA and how games are rep. We know we had the Tim Donaghy scandal, and Tim Donaghy pointed out how the Kings got the raw end of the officiating in their series against the Lakers. And we see here a few years ago, KD and the Warriors, you know, who were almost must-watch, like a dynasty, some might argue that, but we saw a controversial call in Game 1 when LeBron and the Cavs, the infamous J.R. Smith game, where it looks as though the Cavs are going to steal Game 1 in Oakland. So I'm just wondering, you know, what questions will arise from this, and, you know, how will people, I guess, appreciate the last, quote-unquote, great dynasty in the NBA? The Heat and the Warriors, to me, don't compare, and that, those are also questions that will arise. How do you compare most recent dynasties to this Bulls dynasty? I don't think they do necessarily, but I'm excited about the conversation, I guess.
Hey, Lex, you got an answer for Ray?
Man, I'm listening to this, and I'm trying to figure out, he's talking about the Bulls are going to win 8 titles. I'm like, did you realize that the Spurs and the Lakers, the young Lakers, the Kobe Shaq Lakers, were right there? So, you know, it's unfortunate that they broke the Bulls team up. I was unhappy about that because I did want to see, you know, the great Chicago Bulls team take on, you know, either the Spurs, you know, with Duncan and Robinson, or, you know, the Kobe Shaq Lakers, who were coming. I think that dynasty would have won 8 or 9 titles if they had, you know, kind of kept them together, personally. But, yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to see the documentary just because it's Michael Jordan. You know, I mean, I think we're all excited just because of basketball.
No, I'm not.
First and foremost. But then it's Michael Jordan. You know, we always, you know, always interested in what Michael Jordan did, Scottie Pippen, you know, that whole team. Arguably the greatest basketball team ever.
Yeah, I just hope Scottie gets a lot of support and respect throughout this documentary. I think a lot of people kind of like ignore Scottie's greatness because they want to uplift Jordan's greatness. We all know Jordan's all-time great, but it's like in arguments when we have, you know, when you're talking about GOATs or whatnot, it's like Jordan did it by himself. We forget that back then, you know, Scottie was a top 50 player of all time and, you know, went to Portland and did some things. Chicago, when Jordan left, he still had that team running the float. So I'm interested to see how they portray Scottie Pippen in this documentary, to be honest with you.
Not only that, I'm... Go ahead, Lex.
No, I was referring to you.
No, I also want. I'm interested to hear some of those stories about some of those practices, because from the urban legends that we hear about Michael Jordan's practices, he gets after it with his teammates. You know, he pushes his teammates a little bit too hard. So it'll be interesting to hear their honest reflection on Michael Jordan's practices and their interactions with him when they didn't play at a level he deemed acceptable.
Ray?
Lex?
Oh, well, Lex, I'm sorry, Lex.
Yeah,
Lex.
I agree.
Lex, I'm sorry, Lex.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I want to see the practices too. You know, we got a glimpse of Kobe Bryant, you know, imitating Michael Jordan a bit, you know, and his competitiveness and the Mamba mentality, but you know, it's one thing to see Luke Skywalker doing, you know, doing what he does. But I think all of us are interested in seeing what Yoda, you know, how Yoda kind of operated. And that would be kind of like Michael Jordan, you know, how he operated in practice, you know, competing against Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Tony Kukoc and Steve Kerr and, you know, all those guys, Armstrong and Cartwright and Luke Longley. I mean, a great team. I mean, they did a really good job of putting that team together, constructing that team, everybody playing their different roles. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just mainly because we are lacking. I mean, think about it, guys. We're lacking basketball. We didn't get any of the March Madness completely taken away from us. The NBA, you know, I'm a Laker diehard. Lakers are NBA champions this year. They took that away from us. You know, Kobe Bryant gone. So it's just like there's a void there if you're a sports head and if you're a basketball head. There's a void. Now you can't even go outside and play basketball because of the quarantine laws and, you know, the state-governed, you know, situation. So, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for this documentary just because of ESPN. I mean, do you guys even watch ESPN now? I don't even turn ESPN on.
No, I'll be watching on CBS Sports. They be showing the retro March Madness games, the championship games and whatnot. So that's what I've been watching. I'm not gonna lie to you. Okay. That's my thing right now. Steph Curry went ham on Georgetown.
I don't watch any of the live programming on ESPN, but I do go to ESPN.com and I watch a lot of the old top ranked boxing matches on there.
Okay.
So what's your, I guess, in terms of like that championship run? Well, yeah, the championship run with the Bulls. Your favorite, Bulls moment or whatnot, Jordan moment or whatever, Bulls moment. Ray.
Who you asking?
Ray. Sorry, I'm sorry, Ray.
No,
Ray. What do you think about that, Ray?
Yo, to be honest, one of my favorite moments from that Bulls dynasty was when Indiana, the Pacers, pushed the Bulls to 7. They pushed them to the brink when Jordan and Reggie just went at it, because you barely, in this day and age, at least from my perspective, you barely get to see the greats go up against each other. I know KD and LeBron went up against each other, but again, they joined teams, man. Or at least KD at the time had joined the Warriors. But we're talking about two teams, Indiana and Chicago, that were built through the draft. They weren't stacked. They weren't superstars going to team up. And they went mano a mano, and it was just fun to watch for 7 games. They got physical. They didn't like each other. It's the type of NBA we don't see today, where guys are friends, guys don't play as physical. And, again, people like to team up. I just feel like that old-school feel is something that I would love to relive, because we don't see that anymore.
Wait a minute. They didn't stack their team? Come on, man. Dennis Rodman was with the Detroit Pistons. He was enemy number one for the Chicago Bulls, and he decided to join forces with those guys. And let's not act like Tony Kukoc wasn't, like, the best European player in the world at that time. He was Luka Doncic. He was the Luka Doncic.
Wait. He ain't as good as Luka. He ain't as good as Luka. All right,
I'm done.
He ain't as good as Luka, though.
I'm done.
He ain't as good as Luka. I mean, I know you're going,
no,
I know you're going with it.
Waters. He was a great player. Man.
Oh, okay, but he wasn't no Luka. Luka's a Don. I get what you're going with it, but Luka's a Don. Like, that step back is mean. Like, that step back's on a whole different level.
I mean, Kukoc came before those guys.
Okay.
So he was like one of the top European players, you know, before all the European players came over here. Kukoc was the guy that was getting all the hype back overseas. Everybody was like, oh, he's the next Magic Johnson. He's better than Scottie Pippen and all this crazy stuff.
No, I get where you're coming. I mean, I get where you're coming from. But, I mean, what's his name? The dude that played for the Nets back in the day. Petrovic?
Drazen Petrovic.
Yeah, he was like the GOAT back then in terms of European players. Like, Kukoc was even better than him.
He was.
You know what I'm saying?
Who was better than
Lex? Lex, I can see how you've been spending the quarantine. Now, you've been getting high.
Wait a minute. Y'all need to go back and look at the height.
Man, he dropped 50. Touch of it dropped 50.
No. Who coached when he came over? When he came over here was hype.
He was hype. No, he was hype.
I said what he actually did when he got here. When he got here, okay. He played with Mike. And this is a whole other story, guys. Mm-hmm. Most guys that have played with Michael Jordan that were supposed to be great, with the exception of Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, they all shrunk. Everybody else, you think about it, Kwame Brown, he was the number one pick. He shrunk when he was with Michael Jordan. And Kukoc was the same way. He was supposed to be great. Came over here, played with Mike, and he just became a role player. You know, a very good six man. I mean, the guy was, 6'8", 6'9". He could shoot really well. I mean, he was a great addition to their team. I'm not saying he was Petrovic. I'm not saying he's the Don. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's Dirk, but I'm just saying he was hyped up.
No, he was hyped.
The European hyped guys back in the day.
No, he was hyped. He was hyped.
You just said he was Luka back then. So now you're going back on that. Now you're stepping it back.
No, but from the hype perspective, he was Luka the Don. From the hype,
he's right in terms of hype. But not no play though. But in terms of hype, okay. He's right though.
Hold on, I'm gonna say this as a rebuttal. And I promise I'll let y'all move on. Dude, do we ever relive the decision for Dennis Rodman? You cannot compare Dennis Rodman signing with the Bulls to LeBron signing with the Heat or to KD signing with the Warriors. Come on, man. I don't understand what you're saying.
Why can't you? Dennis Rodman was the best rebounder defender at that time and did not like the Chicago Bulls.
Was that joint with a wedding dress? The decision with Dennis Rodman? Do you have like a wedding dress on?
That was the Spurs.
Oh man. Sorry.
I'm gonna take my rebound. I'm gonna take my talents and my rebounds to Chicago. Like, get out of here. Like, nobody really thinks about them as stacking because they added a rebound. That's like Patrick Beverley getting added to a championship team. Somebody who's a specialty Beverly player.
Patrick Beverley, really?
I'm trying to think of my favorite like Bulls championship moment. It would probably be when during that run. It probably would be when Orlando beat him though, real talk. When he came back and changed his number to 23. It would probably be when Orlando beat him. I think that was one of my best, like my favorite Bulls moment at that time. I thought that was a great moment actually. I thought the Reggie push off for the three was good too. I'm with Ray. I thought that series was like that. In terms of that series was like that. Like, Reggie and Jordan were going at it. Like, Reggie was like one of many few to me that actually wasn't scared of Michael Jordan. There are a lot of players I felt like played scared. Like, Reggie didn't play scared. Like, he thought he can give Jordan the business, even though he was coming off screens and whatnot. But still, he thought he can give Jordan the business. There are a lot of players I thought that who sized up against Jordan in that era. A lot of folks are already shook off the bat. Like, I thought Reggie wasn't scared. Like, Reggie went at him. Barkley didn't check Jordan, but Barkley wasn't scared of the Bulls. But, like, Reggie wasn't scared of Jordan. It's quiet. I got to find a new way to do this. It's quiet, dog. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good.
It's quiet, dog.
You say Reggie.
He wasn't scared.
Reggie Miller.
He wasn't scared of Jordan.
I was not scared of Mike.
No, he wasn't scared. No, he didn't play scared. You know when somebody plays scared. Like, he didn't play scared. He went at him. There are a lot of players who played scared.
He used to call Michael Jordan the black cat.
No, he did, but he didn't play. I mean, he gave him respect, but he didn't play scared. Like, I think there's a difference. You can give somebody respect, but sometimes you can overly respect somebody and play scared. Like, for instance, Kevin Durant, initially when he was at OKC, he gave LeBron too much respect, and LeBron used to give him the business. And then once he got out of that situation and went to Golden State, you could tell that he got a little bit more confident, felt a little bit, he got more swag to his game, so he wasn't scared of LeBron. There are a lot of players that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of players, when they see you off on the court, they're giving you so much respect, they're not trying to go at you. Reggie was going at whoever, and he went at Jordan. There was no fear factor there.
Magic respected Bird, but they went at each other.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? There's certain players. You watch NBA Finals, you'd be like, oh, like, they're going against Jordan. And you can see timidness. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steve Smith was a good ball player, but he went against Jordan. I didn't think he went at Jordan. You know what I'm saying? There's certain players that would go at Jordan. Like, Reggie, in terms of an all-time great, was probably one of very few that I can honestly say that watching him, he went at Jordan.
the Reggie and then I know people are going, I know y'all are going to be like, what the hell when I say his name, but because I was a Knicks fan and I used to watch
John
so many games.
John Starks. Yeah, he's go Adam too. He's go Adam. Like John was a skater. I think it's a great one. I think that's a great, that's a great one. He went at Jordan. There's, you know what I mean? Like he went at him. No, I agree.
He dunked on him.
Yeah, he dunked on him. That was a good moment.
He dunked on him with the left hand.
The left. Leaned on it too. Let me stop talking about
that.
those are my best moments because that's the last time the Knicks were great when they had Patrick and Oakley and Mason.
Don't mention Charles Smith. He can't make a layup, man. Don't mention that dude. He can't make a layup, man. He's the reason why the three-peat happened. He made a layup. They would never had a three-peat. If Charles Smith can make a layup, they would never had a three-peat.
That is true.
You can make that argument about a lot of situations. If Magic and the Lakers hadn't got hurt, they wouldn't have been a three-peat.
Oh, I know. I know this, bro.
If the Celtics hadn't gotten old, it wouldn't have been a
three-peat. Ooh, man, relax. Don't do this, man. You help my argument, man. You make my argument for me, dog. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm just saying. If the Detroit Pistons hadn't traded Adrian Dantley, you know what I mean? There's a possibility that there wouldn't be a three-peat. I mean, there's so many people that you have to, you know, a lot of factors, I think, that kind of go into play when you talk about that.
Yeah,
I mean, Michael and them were great, but there was a lot of things that kind of went on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that won't be in a documentary, though. That won't be in a documentary. They won't put that in a documentary. It'll be all about 98 and how great they were. You know what I'm saying? Are they going to feature the push-off? Was that 90? Was that 98? The push-off was 98 too, right? That was 98. The push-off?
Yeah, that was 98.
That was 98.
Yeah.
They're gonna feature that too. Is Byron Russell gonna be interviewed? He should be interviewed in this documentary.
Hey, they should interview the entire Utah Jazz team and just get their feelings on how, you know, they came up during the era. They looked like they were a great team, but they never won a championship.
No, I agree.
Antoine Carr. Oh, yeah. Bring it back. Let's go. Had the glasses on out on the court, man. We don't see this stuff no more, bro. I'm telling you.
I posted a question about memorable moments for the Bulls championship run. At Roto Rich stated that the first championship when they beat the Lakers. Thought that was some crap, but that's all good. Why are you going to be Magic?
That's because the Lakers were hurt. The Lakers were hurt. And they were old. Yeah. Worthy and them were old.
Yeah, I thought that was dirty. One had my man Taj Wilson had when Scottie Pippen dunked on Pat. That was dirty. Will, you want to talk about that? That dunk Scottie had on Patrick?
Nah, I don't need to talk about that.
Oh, so Will's a Knicks diehard fan?
Yep.
Oh man, I feel bad for him.
Yeah,
I feel
20 something years of misery. 20 plus years. Yeah, 20 plus years of misery.
Y'all had Sprewell and couldn't win the championship.
That was a good team too. That Sprewell team was a good team. I like that team. They were gritty. You know what I'm saying? They were gritty. Allen Houston Spree. They were gritty. Jeff Van Gundy did a good
job. Marcus Cotton Candy.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy did a good job with that team, coaching that team. That was a good coaching job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was a good
job. That was O.J. Simpson, right? When he was riding the Broncos.
Was it O.J.?
That was them versus the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that's the championship.
Yeah.
So Pat Riley was coach. That was Pat Riley the coach of that team, though.
Yeah,
right?
I think that was game. I want to say game six. Is it game six?
It went seven, right? The series went seven.
I think that was game.
Game six is the one Starks missed that shot. Game six is when Starks missed the shot to end the series, and it went seven.
It was game five or six when the OJ thing happened.
Okay.
Because I remember thinking, why the hell are y'all showing this? I want to see the game.
Yeah,
and you got to blame OJ for that because they were distracting. They were showing that white Bronco on the Jumbotron. You got to blame OJ for
OJ gets all fault for everything. All right, man. It's time for the next segment. The Skins sign local product quarterback Ronald Darby. We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Scene.
My ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray, myself, Wole, and guest, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. As soon as I get them on, though. All right, here we go. Now they're on. All right. The Skins signed former Eagles and local product from Oxon Hill, cornerback Ronald Darby. It's a one-year deal that is reportedly up to $4 million. Thoughts on the sign, Will T?
I think for Washington, thank you for letting me know who you want to be. I think it's a good signing for Washington. He fits into the mix of what they're trying to do from a cornerback perspective. From this perspective, they want competition, right? A lot of the guys who they have in there, Fabian Monroe, Darby, and...
Kendall Fuller.
Three guys who are, you know, who have to come in and fight for a spot. You know, giving Ronald Darby, a guy who's been talented, but some will say hasn't lived up to the level of expectation of his talent. Giving him a 1-year deal for potentially up to $4 million, I think it's a good fit. Just from what I, remember from, you know, from Jack Del Rio defenses, I think that Darby's style play, you know, fits well into what they potentially want to do at the cornerback position.
Lex?
Hey, look, I'm just happy Josh Norman is back. I take Darby over Josh Norman any day of the week. You know, I'm glad we got Fuller back, you know, another young guy. Mm-hmm. You know, who's been around championship caliber, you know, teams. So I'm just happy that, again, Josh Norman is gone. You know, he want to be a bull rider or whatever. He can do that now on his own time. And I'm happy that Coach decided to go, you know, younger, you know, bring in some fresh legs. You know, Jack Del Rio, as you mentioned, is a really good defensive coach. So just ready for the draft, honestly, and ready to hear, Chase Young's name.
Hopefully.
And then I'll be, I think, a little more excited about, you know, whoever we pick up in the secondary. I just want to hear Chase Young is a Redskin, and then I'll be happy.
Hey, Ray, you know, he's from Florida State, man. He used to be a Florida State fan, man. What do you think about Darby? Were you a big fan of him at FSU?
I am a Darby fan, and I think it's a good signing. I agree with everything that's been said so far. I'm not going to be redundant. However, what I am concerned about is all these new pieces coming together mm-hmm. in a time where there's no OTAs. There's going to be a delay in the start of training camp. I'm thinking it's going to take time for, you know, cohesiveness to be built on this defense and bringing in a stud rookie. You're going to have to at least give this defense an entire season before I think they start to display their level of potential. So I'm going to continue to preach patience to the Redskins fan base. I know many would not like to hear that, but I think just based on the climate we're living in, look at what we're talking about, quarantines and all, mm-hmm. it's going to take some time. I do expect, though, because Darby, you know, is a hard worker, just like I want to say like a Ryan Kerrigan who already is on your defense, to study the playbook religiously while football right now is not being played or while, you know, any type of organized activity can't be held. So I'm thinking that toward midseason, you're going to see a good-looking Redskins defense. But early on, I think there'll be some kinks that they need to iron out.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they're bringing like a local vibe, right? You know, they got Fuller, who's from the area. You got Darby, who's from Oxon Hill. If they get Chase Young, another guy, a kid who went to DeMatha, they got a local vibe. So that's cool. You got guys who, you know, some of these guys grew up watching.
And you got Jonathan Allen.
Jonathan Allen. That's true. Yeah, Jonathan Allen. You got some of these guys who watch this team and kind of have like this ownership for the area and the team. So, I mean, hopefully that brings passion to the team. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times when you watch this team over the last some odd years, you saw a lack of passion. So hopefully you got guys who are ready to kind of turn this whole thing around. But in terms of, like, to me, it's all about Darby's health. You know, he's coming off an injury last season. If he comes back here healthy, I mean, to me, it's an upgrade. I know a lot of, you know, people were enamored with Quentin Dunbar. Josh Norman was a guy that didn't pan out. But you saw what Darby did in Buffalo. He won a championship with the Eagles. You know, you got Fuller who won a championship with the Chiefs. So you got guys who won some championships at a young age. So hopefully that kind of helps out the locker room. But speaking of Dunbar on IG, the Redskins Today account posted the signing of Darby. Former Redskins cornerback Quentin Dunbar posted in a thread, "Great signing, but I wasn't worth the extra meal." Joke with a laughing emoji. Why is Dunbar so salty about the sign of Darby? Lex, I'll start with you.
I don't know why he's salty. I mean, he should be thankful he's still getting paid as a professional athlete. I mean, he got a chance to get out of D.C. You know, at the time it was very toxic,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they really having issues with the coaching staff and upper management, things like that. You would think he would be excited to leave town, but I guess he wanted to wear that burgundy and gold another year, apparently. But I don't know. I think it's kind of childish, you know, mm-hmm. just move on, make your money. And show us what you can do on the field. Stay healthy, you know what I mean? And play and be successful on the field. Stop throwing mud back at your former employer. Because you never know, you might need him one day.
Mm-hmm. So, he's going to Seattle. Why would he be salty? He's going to a winning organization.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily think he's salty. And give me a second to make my point.
Uh-huh.
I think it's... he was passionate about staying. He really wanted to be here. I think, you know, even with the jokes and, you know, what we heard about from his side wanting to be here, you know, him requesting the contract and wanting to be here long term, I think he was really committed to being in D.C. and being a part of this organization and wanted to be a part of the turnaround that may potentially come here over the next couple of years. Anytime someone, you know, I don't care what it is, you know, when you see someone in a position that you were in and you leave on less amicable terms, you leave on, you know, terms that aren't amicable, sometimes it builds some resentment, you know, which is, you know, it's not something I would do, but I can understand how he feels, especially, you know, if he says that he wanted to be here long term. And he wanted a commitment from this organization because he felt as if he put in the work to deserve it. Now, unfortunately, he may have put in the work and deserved it, but that was under the old regime with Jay Gruden and Bruce Allen. You know, now it's a clean slate and every man has to come in and prove his worth. And, you know, evidently from Ron Rivera didn't believe that his worth was much. He couldn't trade them to Seattle for a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
But statistically, if you look at it statistically, this is probably one of the worst Redskins defenses ever. So I want a clean house. Mm-hmm. bring in everybody new. You know, start afresh in the secondary. You know, we know what we have up front from a defensive line perspective. But the Redskins, you know, in my opinion, lacking in the linebacker position, pass rushing position, and they need better secondary players. I mean, that was the bottom line.
Well, let me push back a little bit, Lex. If you said that Washington lacks pass rushers, right, then mm-hmm. what you're doing is you're asking your defensive backs to cover longer than they normally would if you lack a pass rush.
So I agree.
To say if he didn't have at least an adequate or decent pass rush, maybe we would have really seen Quentin Dunbar at his best. Maybe we would have seen that secondary at its best last year, mm-hmm. right?
Quentin might have been the brightest spot out of the group last year.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think a pass rush would help Josh Norman, honestly.
Dang, man, already, you really hate Josh Norman. He's
I'm just saying. He already left.
If we had three Chase Youngs, it's Josh Norman would still be the one on the field getting burned up.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Just saying.
They got Ryan Kerrigan, man.
I mean,
he's great.
That's a fact, man.
They got Ryan Kerrigan. He's great,
well,
man.
Well, how about this? Josh, I think it's fair if you grade Josh Norman more critically this year than you do in years past in Washington. Here's why. Because the defense he's going to in Buffalo, that's the type of defense, that style and that mm-hmm. System of defense is the exact same type of defense that he played in Carolina. And it'll put him in a position to do the things he's done in the past, which made him,
All-Pro.
All-Pro and Pro Bowl cornerback, you know. And maybe his time in D.C. was an indictment against him, because it proved that what he thought of himself being an elite cover corner that can go anywhere on the field wasn't necessarily true.
I mean, it's close to Greg Minuski, man. Enough said. I mean, I think anybody on that defense who struggled, you know, under Greg Minuski, you all look bad. They all look bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, you hope that the person who's going to save some of these careers and Jack Del Rio, to make these guys kind of fulfill their promise, excuse me. And if they can, it would be under Jack Del Rio, because they weren't doing it under Minuski. But it's time to go to the next segment. Will fans change the way they watch games because of the coronavirus? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Ages.
You dig?
This would be the hit me with the heat, real recognized, real, don't speak, wipe it out. Chicken lady, I've been rolling about a week, you can tell I got cake by the diamonds in my teeth, wipe it out. Black shade, so you know when rolling, they ain't check me at the door, so ain't no telling what I'm holding, wipe it out. Bad, they gon' bust it wide open, flashing in the gray, but I'm in, they approaching, wipe it out. Small, tall figures, y'all, crawl, we gon' get the dog, wipe it out. Y'all, call, put my all killer, get your itchy, and whoever fall with it. Cause I'm all white man, 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 cause I'm all white man.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. And we got the homie, Lex Diamonds, on the line. So, my man Will had an excellent, excellent topic. So, I want to give credit when credit is due. He put this out there. Will the coronavirus change the way you watch sports going forward? Will, tell him, start with you.
Yeah. I mean, I during football season, I used to go to a sports bar and watch the game. Will I be going to a sports bar in the near future to watch a game? Nah, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, when I order a drink, I'm going to look at that glass and be like, did they really clean this glass really well? You know, when my if I order some food, I'm going to say, I'm going to be listening for someone coughing back in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it for me, it's just, you know, as with anything, you know, I think, you know, this coronavirus is going to change. It's changed the way we work. It's mm-hmm. changed the way we communicate. It's changed the way that we, as consumers, we purchase things. So I think it's fair to ask, is it going to change how you consume sports going forward?
Hey, Lex, is it going to change the way you watch sports?
Man, listen. First of all, when we get back in the press box, if we get a chance to get back in the press box, I won't be shaking nobody's hand. I won't be eating any of the food in the press box. I mean, yeah, it's going to change a lot of things.
True,
and, you know, it's unfortunate that this situation has happened. But, I mean, honestly, guys, do we even know, are we going to have football in the fall? Like, I mean, really mm-hmm. think about it. They're saying this coronavirus will get stronger in the fall when the weather's colder. I mean, come on, are we really going to have football in the winter?
With as greedy as the NFL is, hell yeah.
He's right.
Hell yeah.
They're greedy. They need that money, man. They need that money. They just did the new CBA, you know, a longer season. They don't care. Yeah, they want the money. They want that bag. Hopefully by that time there'll be, you know, there'll be treatment that not a vaccine, but there'll be treatment that, you know, that can kind of help folks deal better with the symptoms. That's just a hope. You know what I mean? By that time, therapeutic. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Therapeutic treatment.
Yeah. Thank you. So hopefully, you know, that will happen in the fall. But in terms of, like, you know, how will things change? I think, Lex, you're right. You know, when I get into the press box, you know, I'm not giving folks the real, you know, the pound or the dab or whatever. They gonna get the long distance, you know, high five. Because it's still too soon. You know what I'm saying? It's still too soon. You know what I mean? I'm like, you too, Will T. Like, I'm not comfortable being in crowded venues. And again, you know, we fit the demographic in terms of being young, and it may not impact us as much. But still, we all got families. We all got parents and whatnot. You don't want anybody hindered with that, you know, with that illness. So, yeah, I'm with y'all, man. It's like, shoot. I mean, things have to change. I mean, we have to adjust.
Yeah, Ray, I know you sometimes go and cover WNBA games and you cover other games. Are you going to, you know, go to live sporting events and, you know, cover those games as a press member?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still going to go. You guys, throughout the first half hour of this show, talked about, oh, we miss sports. Guys, we haven't lived without sports. We need sports. And then now it's like, no, but I ain't going to pay nobody. You know what? We are a very impulsive society. That's what it is.
Yeah.
As the risk starts to reduce, I'm guaranteeing as normalcy starts up, we're going to start to get back out more. You know, we're going to get back out to restaurants, just like we have to support those who right now aren't working because they're servers or they work in businesses that aren't essential. We're also going to want to support, you know, athletes. I'm just hoping, honestly, that athletes will not take things for granted now, that just because you get a big contract or just because, you know, you appear to be living comfortably, this is affecting everybody. So I'm hoping that we all learn a lesson, including the government and, you know, just beyond, you know, the borders of the United States. But that's a different subject. But yeah, of course, I'm going to go back to games. I'll continue to cover sporting events. I think that, you know, we'll, as we learn more about this disease, we'll hopefully, as you said, have better treatments, more comprehensive treatments.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't prevent everything, of course, and you got to live by faith. Like I said, it's not a necessarily a discussion I'm going to have with y'all right now. But if you ask me in particular whether I'm going to continue, of course I will, because a lot of us want to get back to normal. Are you going to go back to the gym, Wally, when the gym reopens? You're going to be thinking about it, but you already talking about I'm on a treadmill every day. You're missing it, so...
I hate you.
It's the same thing. Are we gonna resume life when this is over with?
I hate you. Hey,
we miss all that stuff. We miss all that stuff, and you gotta understand, sports and entertainment. So part of it is entertainment. We gotta make light of the situation. But I'm just telling you, athletes, they're gonna come back, and if you think you're gonna stick the microphone in their face, they're not having that. They're gonna be on some Marshawn Lynch. I'm not talking.
Some of them will be.
There's gonna be a lot of that going on.
Yeah,
it is some entertainment there, Will. We do miss it, but the way we used to do it, it's in our conscience now. you know, if you go to the bathroom in the press box, if you see somebody go to the bathroom and don't
and wash their hands,
you know what I'm saying? Before, you'd be like, nasty. But now you're gonna tap that police officer and be like, hey, homie ain't washing his hands. You know what I'm saying? That's where we are now, I think, in society. Right now with all this coronavirus going on. I'm with you on the face thing. I'm with you on the face, but you still got to use your brain and common sense with this stuff.
Hey, Lex, you're right. There's some trifling people in that press box.
Oh, my goodness. Terrible.
There's trifling people.
Terrible, man.
I wonder will, like, stadiums and arenas take a hit, though? Like, will folks, when it, you know, when once all this opens up, will it take a hit? Will people be like, you know, I'd rather watch it on TV rather than going to the games?
I mean, look, all you had to do is just look at, I think the local football team was already taking a hit prior to this.
It's true. It's real talk.
I mean, look, just, I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying, look, I watched the game.
Which local team?
Watch some of the game.
Which local team? Are you talking about the Nationals?
The football team.
When they just won the World Series.
No, I'm talking about the
football team. The obvious one.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
I used to watch some of those. The XFL, they were winning.
The professional football team in Lando that plays
in Say our name, man.
I'm not saying nothing.
You can't say it. Go ahead, Will.
just watching some of the games briefly on TV, I'd be like, damn, no one's there. Like, you know, I would text you while you were covering the game. I'd be like, does it look as dead? Is it really as dead in the stadium as does it look as it looks on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't tell Nate Lewis that. Are you trying to say we had the coronavirus back in the fall?
I'm just saying people stop coming to that stadium, one, because of the in-game experience.
The product.
Two, there's nothing to do before and after the game if you're going over to the stadium. And three, traffic.
Yeah, and the product.
Four, the team.
The product.
Last but not least, the team stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
hey, and to add insult to injury, FedEx Field is the testing site for the coronavirus right now.
Oh, so yeah.
People will be tailgating in that parking lot.
Oh, they losing all the way around.
Like, what the heck?
They losing all the way around.
Goodness. You just killed us. Right there.
And you ain't lying. That's terrible. Man, that's terrible PR. They're going to have to change. They want to clean that. No pun intended, Don.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, will the NFL draft be exposed? We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Series.
For ages.
You dig?
Stupid. He got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in his lightning bird. You see fireworks, they carve a tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like been through, probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Mole, and the homie, Lex Diamond. All right, so Will T, man, you talked about this a little bit, you know, when we were talking about topics and whatnot for the show. I ain't get it, though. NFL draft exposed? Like, what? How can you expose the NFL draft?
Yeah, man, the biggest rules in sports will be exposed on April 27th when the NFL has its draft.
Mm-hmm.
For the past you know, for a lot of football fans, the NFL draft is kind of like one of the signs that spring is here. Football is around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. Once the Super Bowl ends, we're all left to believe that the NFL GMs and front offices need 4 months to evaluate talent.
Yeah.
They have to fly across the country. They need to bring in prospects and interview them. They need to do the combine, which has become a huge ratings draw. Now with the coronavirus, what is everybody left with? To watch the same damn tape. Then what? No, seriously,
yeah,
man.
You're right. No,
they hype it up like this is one of the hardest things to do. And now because of the coronavirus, it's going to expose that all of this was a damn, it was just for ratings. It was just for news to keep the name, to keep the NFL's name on the front page of the newspapers, because all of the GMs, all of the front office staff
are going
to have to watch tape, and then they're going to make draft picks based off of just watching tape.
Mm.
Rather than letting us believe that it's some complicated science, you have to interview players and you got to bring them in and fly them around the country for all these in-person workouts, like you're not going to be able to see, like you can indicate, like you can pick up anything more complicated, anything more about them than you would have on a tape or just talking to their coach.
So right,
that's why I said once April 27th comes and the NFL draft starts, we'll know that it's the biggest sham in sports entertainment.
Hey, Ray, you think the draft?
All that they told us has been a lie.
Hey, Ray, you think the draft is phony? The process is phony?
I don't disagree with it. I do think it's more to, you know, scouting players and interviewing players and learning personalities. But obviously, they can conduct the draft without all of this. So I don't totally disagree with what Will is saying. But to be honest, I honestly believe that the NFL moving to the at least the first day of the draft to that Thursday, it was genius. I mean, we used to gather Buffalo Wild Wings just to watch that first day. So
that's true.
It was a smart move from an entertainment standpoint. I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with, you know, months passing, players allowing their bodies to heal, whether guys or scouts deserve the amount of money they receive for the amount of work they put in. That's a whole other discussion. But I think it's okay. The draft must go on because the NFL, as you said, wants to keep or wants to maintain popularity. They want to stay at the forefront of our minds. They also have the best shot as having somewhat of a normal season because the hope is that we will have a handle on this virus by the end of the summer. And that's when the NFL season starts, right around the Hall of Fame game, around that time, around August. So we'll see what happens. But I'm okay with every year if they were to not have to go through that whole process and we can, you know, I guess, accelerate things. But, you know, either way, we're fine. The NFL is going to do everything it can to market itself. But as Will said, in previous weeks and months, the NFL is battling, you know, I guess, less and less viewership every season. I know last season they had somewhat of a bounce back, but they're fighting to stay relevant, and they're going to do whatever it takes. And you can't blame them, but at the same time, it's up to you whether you support them or not.
Hey, Lex, you think the NFL is like, you know, is the hustle? You think that the whole draft process is a hustle?
I don't know if it's the hustle. I think what the guys are saying, it does have possibly some validity to it. But you got to also think, these guys have been scouting the whole year. So, yes, they probably will make decisions off of tapes, but some of these scouts have actually physically gone, you know, to the games and watched these college players play up close, you know, up close and personal. So I don't know if it's completely false what they're doing. You know, they got to justify having jobs and scouts. So, I mean, from my perspective, you know, as long as the Redskins draft Chase Young, I'm going to be a happy guy. It doesn't matter what them other teams are doing. I think Will's just upset because, you know, the Falcons, they're
You're
stuck right. with their quarterback.
I mean, Ray's a Falcons fan. That's
Ray. Ray is a Falcons fan.
So, Will, what team you like?
He don't like no team.
I don't really have a team anymore, per se. You know, I was at one point a very passionate Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Okay.
But there was a certain incident that happened that really made me know that, you know, Eagles management really doesn't care about people like us, you know.
Are you upset that they got rid of Donovan McNabb?
Nah. It's the whole the handling of the Riley Cooper situation.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I actually, in terms of what Will was talking about, I agree. I think GMs and GMs, coaches, or whatever, and front offices, excuse me, they overplay the whole NFL draft. Like, they overthink it. Some people try to outsmart themselves. I don't think we need this whole process in terms of evaluating talent and knowing what a player is all about. I think if you watch them on Saturdays and you watch enough tape, and you have some of these scouts who go there, who went to these institutions to watch these kids play, you pretty much have a good idea of how these kids can ball. And if you're looking for a baller, I think what you see on Saturday, and you can kind of map it out a little bit with the combine a little bit, but you pretty much know what these kids are about, and you can break that down. Like, you don't need the whole process.
Combine is the second biggest hustle.
I'm with you, but I'm saying in terms of like matching what the kids play, right? Like, matching it up. You don't use it as like the end-all, be-all result of it. If he has a bomb-ass combine, like he's the best player in the world, no. You look at it like, you give me some elements of the combine that matches up to what you did on Saturday. Like, you want anything to match up what you did on Saturday. And to me, like, you can have that. But in terms of the whole process, you know, there's months and months of this crap about trying to evaluate a player. Like, you know what this player is about. Like, you pretty much know what they're about. You know what Chase Young's about. Like, if you watch Chase Young on Ohio State, you know what he's about. Anybody else who tries to kind of shortchange him is just because they're trying to outsmart themselves. But you know what he's about. When you watched Julio Jones in Alabama years ago, you knew what Julio was about. A.J. Green, you knew what they're about. Like, you know, if you got a top five pick or a top 10 pick, you pretty much know what those kids are about.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know what I'm saying? So
hopefully everybody will be happy with their picks.
Hopefully. Everyone's never happy about their picks. But it's about time to wrap this show up. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene page, Facebook page. My man, Will T, you got any parting shots since you came up with this great, great outline for the show?
That'd be funny.
No, you did, though. Real talk.
Nah, man.
I'm not insulting you, bro. I'm giving you real credit.
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks, Lex, for jumping on, you know, giving a fourth voice to the show for today, because it wasn't a whole lot to talk about. So we appreciate you having you on. That's one. Two, it's always good to have Ray on. And three, I just appreciate, anybody who's taking the time to listen to us, you know, probably cooped up in the house like we are. We're doing this show via conference call, which makes, you know, from a production and a handoff perspective, a little bit rough. Mm-hmm. And it may be, you know, rough on some people's ears. I don't know what Wally's going to do as far as, post-production. But
that's good enough.
Just appreciate everyone, you know, who listened to the show. And thank you. We appreciate you.
All right, man. Bray, you got something you want to say at all? No?
Guys, have a good night, gentlemen. My man. Sorry. We apologize to you. Other than that, we're good.
Hey, relax. You want a rebuttal for that before we end the show?
Hey, look, man. I'm just happy that you guys allowed me to be on the show. I could give a pie. You know, I've been eating apple pie almost every other night. I'm just thankful. I can do something outside of eating. You know what I mean?
I'm all right.
Because when you stay in the house, look, they got you on this social distance stuff. So you can't be with any women or anything like that. So you kind of just by yourself. The only thing you can do is no sports on TV. There's no music or entertainment. The only thing you can do is eat.
Hey, bro.
When we tried the grocery store, you was in the pie line.
I'm in the pie line.
I'm buying toilet paper. What's happening, bro? Hey, man.
Everybody buying toilet paper and Lysol. I was getting apple pie.
Hey, bro. Hey, man. Anyway, you listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mac Lee's out, big homie.